Thought I'd talk a little bit tonight about Buddhist perspectives on depression and sadness and the blues. And if you've never felt any of those sensations, well, just do the best you can. Take notes for a friend or... we know that when we hear that the Buddha taught that the mind is a causal machine, that we tend to look for all the reasons that we experience things out in the world or in nature, or it's just who I am. But when we hear that the Buddha said that actually what we experience, both our happiness and our frustrations and disappointments, are by and large the results of our own actions, we can accept that for a lot of the mind states that we experience, anger, for example, or even for fear. But when it comes to depression sadness, down moods, these things can feel like there's nothing we can do about them, that they're just states that we fall into, and it can be very confusing to see, well, how do I work with this? The Buddha taught a very useful approach to looking at how the mind, step by step, gives birth to all of the things, the mind states that we experience. And I'm going to refer to this at first and then explain how useful it is. So bear with me. There's no way to go but into the heart of this. And this part can be a little tough to understand, but see if you can follow me. It's called the Paticca-samuppada, the chain of causation that shows how the mind gives birth to suffering. It starts out with, the Buddha said, we start out with this very root state called avijja, which is a state of the mind that feels there's something wrong, feels there's something missing, feels that we're missing something that we need to feel truly happy or relaxed or at peace, that we can't just settle down, we have to keep working until we get to our vacation or retirement or until we have a certain amount of money in the bank or whatever. We don't believe that right here and right now we have everything we need to be truly peaceful. It's always somewhere in the future. We're constantly feeling, if only I had this one more thing, this better apartment, this relationship, this got rid of this roommate, or got a better job, or got a degree. And once we get those things, rather than bring us that permission to find lasting peace and tranquility, there's always one more thing. All right, so I got the apartment, I'm still not happy, so it's got to be the furniture, new furniture. Okay, I got the furniture, I'm still not happy, so it's got to be that I don't like my job, etc. Onwards and onwards. So the mind keeps on pushing off, feeling there's something additionally that we're missing. This is the root mind state, avijja, and the mind is by nature not only feeling there's something missing, but also feels that the answer is out there in the world, in what the Buddha called loka. So it doesn't look inwards, it almost invariably looks outside of itself for the solution. So that's the two main factors of that. And then there's a couple of in-between states, but then we get to the next important one, which is fasa, where we make contact with something. It could be something in the world, like a new hat, or somebody's wearing shoes that we like, or a job opportunity, or a role that we want, or somebody that looks really attractive, or on the other hand, it could be something that is a threat, and we think, oh, if only I got rid of this one thing, I'd be truly happy. If only I got rid of this job, or this person in my life. Or the third thing it could be is an idea. We can have suddenly an idea pop into our head, like, I suck, or I'm no good, or nobody likes me, or whatever. This is contact as well. Then what happens, once we have this contact with something, whether it's an idea or something out there in the world, then the Buddha says, we start to develop Vedana, which is this embodied state of either liking or disliking whatever we've made contact with in the world. So, for example, you might see somebody wearing a coat that you like or a shirt that you like, and you're feeling uncomfortable and sweaty, and so you see this shirt, it looks really nice, that's a nice looking shirt. Once you see it, then you start feeling, ah, if only I had that shirt. And from once we have this feeling, this ah feeling of Vedana, Sukha Vedana, good feeling, then we want it, we develop thoughts about it, how can I get that shirt? Once we get that shirt, we want more shirts like it. That's called clinging. And finally, our whole life becomes about buying shirts, and that's bala. When it's depression or downstate moods, it's often negative, what the Buddha called dukkha vedana. There's this feeling of discomfort that arises because we've made contact with an idea or something in the world that makes us feel uncomfortable. And this dukkha vedana, this discomfort arises, and then we add all these thoughts to it. What's wrong with me? Why can't I get rid of this? Why am I in this situation? What's happening to me? Etc. We start then adding what the Buddha called papancha. We start taking it all personally. I'm the only one who feels this way. Nobody knows what it's like to be in such a shitty job, or nobody knows what it's like to be in a bad relationship, or nobody knows what it's like to be dumped, or nobody knows what it's like to lose a job. We tend to think everything we're going through is just happening to us. And that single final papancha, that state of it's all happening to me, I'm alone, or, you know, this is all about me, we're completing the cycle. We're starting it all over again. It moves us back into, again, avijja. There's something wrong with me. I'm terrible, or I'm missing something, or I've done all wrong, or I've made a big mistake in my life, or nobody likes me. And we're back in avijja where, well, the answer is somewhere out there. I don't have what it takes to be happy. So we completed the cycle, and we're starting it all over again. We started with this root sense that there's something wrong, something missing, something that doesn't give us permission to be happy. We've made contact with something uncomfortable. It could be an idea. It could be something unpleasurable at work. It could be a rejection, or it could be somebody abandons us or turns us down, or whatever, and a negative experience. Towards that negative experience, we add these felt discomfort, and from this felt discomfort, we add all this thinking. How can I get rid of it? Why me? And then the cycle continues all over and over and over again. So it becomes what the Buddha called samsara, this spiral of repetition. Eventually, the thoughts become what he called anusayas, or obsessions, very repetitive. And the strongest anusaya is why me? What did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? This belief that nobody else really knows what it's like. That somehow we're going through these feelings, our feelings are unique or different or whatever. But there, in any case, there's a couple of things to pay attention to. The first is that some of these links in the chain are weaker and some of them are stronger. The weakest link in the chain, the Buddha taught, is between vedana, the gut feeling that there's something wrong in the body, and thinking, where we start adding all the thought. He said between those two states, when we start feeling discomfort and when we start adding all the thought to it, it's a weak link where we can disrupt the chain of suffering and misery, and we can actually break it. In essence, we can stop a depressive cycle. Now, it's important to note that the Buddha at no point says that bad moods or glum, uncomfortable feelings in the body are wrong. They're not. They're inevitable. Trying to get rid of a bad thought or a bad mood or a bad, that's the initial thought that we make contact with, or a bad mood or a bad feeling in the body, it's not going to work because these things are what human beings have. But the state where we then turn this gut discomfort into all this thinking, what's going on, why me, what, blah, 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 papancha, where it's moved from a single experience, whether it's a mood or a feeling or the initial thought that we made contact with, and now it's turned into this plethora of self-centered thought, that's where the opportunity, the choice comes in. That's where we can break this chain and we can do something about it. So trying to, in other words, it's not the mood that's the problem. It's not the fact that we feel sluggish or that we feel unmotivated or that there's this original thought that popped into the mind like, oh, I'm stupid or whatever. That's not the problem. The problem is the way we react to that underlying mood, that first thought, that first gut feeling. That's where the opportunity arises to let go, to stop suffering. So a lot of times when we have this gut mood of like, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to go to work, I don't want to wake up, I don't want to get out of bed, whatever sensation we have, there's this tendency to think, oh, there's something wrong there, there's something wrong with me. That's where in the problem lies, because we're taking something that's universal, that happens to everybody, a feeling of sluggishness, a feeling of being uninspired, a feeling of not wanting to go on with the day. And we really think, there's got to be all these people out there in the world that jump out of bed all happy. Yeah, they love life. They just run out every day. Every day they're just chipper and they're like, you know, they're happy like they're on TV. They're just jumping up and down. And I'm the only one who wakes up with this, So it's all about me. If instead we just simply don't add anything on top of that mood or that underlying, especially vedana, that comes as a result, that rises, this feeling of discomfort, then we can, as I said, interrupt it. So how do we do this? The Buddha taught something called yoniso manasikara, and he also taught something called sati, which is mindfulness. Yoniso manasikara means appropriate attention, and they both involve the same methodology, basically, which is once we have a state arising in us, in the body, a state of, or a mood arising, rather than try to push it away, rather than try to figure out what's wrong, rather than fall into the trap of, oh, I must, you know, what's wrong with me? How did I fuck up? What's wrong with my life? What can I get that will make this go away? Rather than view it as something that's an indicator that there's something terribly amiss, instead, we befriend our underlying feeling. We befriend our moods. Or rather than use the word befriend, I'll use the word, it's a little colder, but we watch it. We observe it. we, instead of bringing the state of, oh, there's something wrong with what's going on in my body or my mood or this feeling or this initial thought that popped up, instead of approaching it with this sense of, oh, there's something wrong, instead we say, oh, okay, this is what being downcast feels like. This is what a bad mood feels like. This is what depression or anger or frustration or lack of purpose or whatever feels like when it's in the body. And we sit with it. Eventually, as we observe it, this reaction arising, rather than immediately try to make it go away, we notice where it starts. In my case, it immediately starts in my stomach. Whenever, and the Buddha said that Vedana can be for a very long time before we start thinking. It can be there for a long time. But we're generally so unaware of what's going on in our bodies that we only become aware of depression once we've started thinking all these thoughts. What's going wrong? I'm uncomfortable. What's happening? Why is this happening to me? Blah, blah, blah. So if instead we become more and more aware of what's going on within, in my case, I notice constantly what's going on here in my abdomen, my belly. The next thing that happens to me is my shoulders start tightening up. Sometimes I can hear that I'm depressed or I'm going through a difficult time just from the muscles in my face or from the sound of my voice. There can be subjects where, for example, I'm unaware that there's this underlying sadness until I talk about it. And then I'll hear it in my voice when I'm talking about the subject, this sense of a wavering quality in my voice, a shakiness. And rather than think, oh my God, what's the matter with me? Instead, the approach is, oh, okay, I see that something's happening here. I'm going to watch what's going on. Once I see how it starts to move through the body, then we can do a bunch of techniques. One technique is to breathe through it, to breathe through the areas that are developing this discomfort and relax the body. If my voice feels uncomfortable, I'll speak slower and I'll breathe more into my chest as I speak and I'll relax my jaw. If it's in the base of my throat, I'll imagine I'm breathing right directly into this area of the body. If I've caught it when it's in my stomach and I think I can work with it then, I'll practice just having a full deep breath and breathing out the exhalation through the belly. So I'll find whichever area I think I can work with and I'll try to relax that area first and then spread this sense of ease throughout the rest of the areas. Some people believe that the best way, some monks I've studied with have taught that the best way to work with underlying states of discomfort that lead to depression or keep the cycle of depression going is by finding the discomfort around the area, the area outside of the discomfort that feels good, and see if you can breathe the peace into it. So there's a lot of different techniques. You'll have to find whatever method works for you. But it's very important to understand that there's no way to think our way out of depression. There's this tendency in the mind when we have this really awful thought that pops up, like, oh, I've made a big mistake with my life. I should have done something else. There's a temptation in the mind to want to do what we would do with anybody else, which goes, how can you think that way? Everything's fine. You know, you want to immediately jump and argue with yourself, or argue with the thought, or argue with the mood, or argue with the lack of sluggishness, or then we get caught in this back and forth. Then we counter-argue, and then we get in a lawsuit in our mind. And none of this ongoing lawsuit accomplishes anything. And the reason it doesn't accomplish anything is because before the thoughts arise, it's already in the body. the only way to break the cycle of despair or sadness or the trance of unhappiness is by first detaching from the thoughts and going into the body, seeing where the body's holding the sadness and working with those areas. Yonisa Manasikara. Eventually, once we've relaxed the body, then the Buddha says at that point we move on to what he called wise reflections, where we can then buffet ourselves up by reflecting on things that we've done that were skillful, the times that we didn't do something that was harmful, the appreciate what we've accomplished or what people have done for us, focus on other people in our lives that we care for, or focus the mind on things that do not bring about despair or sadness. But again, we don't move to wise reflection until we first worked with the breath and the body. It's very, very tempting again and again and again to forget this and to continually allow the mind to shrink, what the Buddha called tamayata, shrink around the thoughts. And then the mind becomes very contracted and very small. And then those thoughts, oh, there's something wrong with me, and that battle, no, there isn't, yes, there is, no, there isn't, yes, there is, no, there isn't, yes, there is. That battle becomes so stressful because it's all that we're aware of. We're not aware of the body. We're not aware of what's around us. We've done what in psychology they call dissociation. We're no longer, we're just in this false self world, this false inner landscape where we're completely arguing back and forth with ourselves, and we're fixated. So the trick, or not the trick, the process is one of mindfully, again and again and again, learning to detach from the thoughts and go back into the body. Now, if you wait until you're in full-born despair, it's not going to work. I wish it were, but it doesn't work that way. I can tell you from experience that the only way to learn how to detach from thoughts and to go into the body and release the underlying tensions is through practice. This is why when people say it's a good idea to have some form of meditation practice, it's not just like, you know, it's not because it makes me feel good to say it. It's actually because it's the only way to develop the skill to do it when the shit is really hitting the fan. Today I had one of those days at work where nothing I touched turned out right. Nothing I touched turned out right. And there was this temptation to keep on trying. You know? Okay, this thing I worked on turned to shit. Now I'm going to, you know, and then back and forth in my mind was, well, it's not shit. They just don't know what they're talking about. You know, but I saw it and I caught it and I was like, no, this is why I meditate every day. So I can detach, I can walk away, I can sit down somewhere and I can just really breathe comfortably and I can find that area in my body that's been getting really, really tight and reacting. In this case today, it was my face. It's my forehead. It was really tight. It was like I was trying to get rid of today. Like, just get rid of Tuesday. Fuck this day. You know, get through it. Push it away. You can't get rid of Tuesday. You know? But my mind wanted, my brain, my especially my forehead, wanted to get rid of, boy, if somebody's new today, I must think I'm totally insane. But, oh, great. I've come to sit and meditate with a guy who's experienced depression and his forehead's trying to get rid of Tuesday. But that's the way it works. If I could have thought my way out of it, believe me, I'm a pretty smart guy. I would have figured out by now how to think my way out of sadness and all that stuff. But it doesn't work. Can't be done. The only way is by detaching from the thoughts, putting them aside like we do in meditation when we put the world aside, and going in and retracing the steps all the way. Once we've relaxed the underlying body, then eventually we can get all the way down the line in practice to where we're actually deconditioning that root avijja, that root sense that there's something missing. Because we've had so much practice of developing peace within that we no longer start each day and each experience with that feeling that, oh, there's something missing. I've got to get it from out there. And that's when the Buddha said that true enlightenment is possible. It's a long way off for me, probably for you too, but it's something to think about anyway. So anyway, that's some Buddhist perspectives on depression, how it works, and what to do about it. I thought that might be worthwhile. I hope you got something out of it. And now is your turn to ask any questions or share anything you'd like to share about anything. So thank you for listening.